Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game, and to my left, Chris, and back with us once again, Weasel. Big props to the secret agent or special agent of sports last week, Chris Rizzo, for filling in. Did a great job leading up to the draft. But now we have Weasel. We're good. We're going to bring you the draft highlights. Some crazy stuff happened. I know what you're thinking. It's the draft. There weren't any quarterbacks. Why do I care? My opinion, one of the best drafts in a while, at least from my perspective, because in all honesty, we really didn't know who was going to go first. Sure, there was speculation that it was going to be Eric Fisher, you know, offensive tackle, just like it was. In all actuality, we ended up with we did have Fisher first. Try saying that five times fast. No, not literally.
Fisher
Weasel.
Don't, Fisher.
God damn it, Chris. See, I had him cut off, but I didn't have you. Ah, yeah. I still lose. That's my point.
That's how we do it here.
That's how we roll. That's right. Everyone calls in trouble. About how? No, but in all seriousness, we had Luke Jokel at number two going to the Jags, but what was going to be the one of two of them, lots of speculation. Really didn't know up front, and we certainly didn't see the big trade by the Dolphins with hurling picks at the Patriots to get Deion Jordan, defensive end. And really, I want to go ahead and get this started off early. Let's go ahead and open up with who we thought had the best and worst drafts, and then we'll kind of hit the highlights therein after that. Chris, let's go ahead and start with you. Who was your best NFL draft for 2013? What team achieved this?
You know, I think, you know, Green Bay Packers, I think, had a pretty good draft. You know, getting Eddie Lacy in the second round late, running back, which who they need.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's projected to go one of the first running backs to go.
Is Lacy the one that had to have his toe fused?
Toe fusion?
Toe fusion.
That's awesome. No, I'll be honest, I don't know.
I'm going to look it up because there was a reason why the Steelers didn't go after him.
Okay.
So I'll look at that.
All right, well, while Wheels is on that, so we have Eddie Lacy. Although there's some issues around him, let's be clear, no running backs were taken in the first round, so it's not like anybody reached that far to get a running back. So, I mean, there's that. And good point, certainly from a prospect perspective, Weasel, about him having a fused toe. Could matter if you're trying to run the football, throwing that out there. What else you got for them, for the Packers, Chris?
The Tony Jones defense end, you know, first round for him. Then you get a little more pressure, you know, opposite of Clay Matthews.
Well, you know, just like Delonte Carter was Del One, I'm thinking we should make him
that one.
You know that defensive end, that one.
That one Jones.
That there. One there, yeah. That one Jones, yeah. Of course, you could have said that about quarterbacks here. Oh, they didn't draft him to the fourth one. That one Jones, yes. Landry Jones, yeah, Steelers, right. And oh, I'm just saying. Anyways, so you know, yeah, keep going, Chris.
You know that one. They also got another running back later on from UCLA, also Jonathan Franklin, who had a pretty good college career. Also, the other two picks in the fourth round, you know, they went O-line, which they struggled with last year. So getting him in the fourth, yeah, you'd like to see him a little earlier, but you know. There was a run on offensive linemen, so it wasn't really that much of a difference if they take them in the fourth round or try to take them in third and second, because those guys were still probably going to be there. There wasn't much in between the grab.
Well, and let's be abundantly clear. I've already dubbed this. I don't believe it was on this show, but I've already – maybe it was last week with Rizzo. I don't know. But I've already dubbed this the vegetarian suck draft because of all the beef that came off the board on this one here. I'm telling you what. And it was a pretty deep line draft. So really, the difference between – a first round and a fourth round in this draft won't be as big as you may normally see just because there were so many guys that really did well. I mean, you could say, well, there was no one good at other positions. No, I don't think that's true. I think it's more because there was quality prime choice beef, so to speak, compared to, you know, I mean, it happened to occur at the same time that there weren't any real quarterback prospects. There's some running backs out there, but running back is a deteriorating position, right? There's rarely safety prospects. That's a tough position to play. That is what it is. But you usually see corners, receivers getting all the hype. And they were still there too, but they weren't in the droves like the beef were. And I think the Packers, while they didn't go for offensive line as early as I personally would have liked, they still got needs with every one of their first four picks. Well, yeah, first five, you could say. Then they start getting, you know, towards the bottom of the draft there and, you know, kind of filling in best available, which is really what you should do anyway, right? Best available player, right, Weasel? So I say Weasel because I know that's your strategy for show if you're drafting. You know, I don't know. I did think highly of the Packers draft. And I'm going to go ahead and go next so I can keep Weasel from sounding like a homer. I looked at the Vikings draft, and I thought, damn, that was pretty nice. Because here's the truth. I think we were talking about before the show, Weasel, you said it might have been a little bit risky. But let's call it what it is. The likelihood is, if everything works the way they plan, they got three guys who will start on this squad in 2013, right? I mean, you tell me, is there a better measure for a good draft?
Well, yeah, you want to get starters, definitely. But the thing about those players, that they were not only needs, but they were best value. Also, most of them were best value.
Right.
Patterson one.
Cordero Patterson.
Cordero Patterson from Tennessee.
That's right.
He, first 2 years, he did the community college thing. And he went for 1 year to Tennessee, and he put up some decent numbers. Now, the thing about him why the Vikings traded up from to pick 29 was that he's got like this raw talent, but he's not polished.
Yeah, so
the Vikings are really taking a risk there.
Right.
But the guy, he's a good return man. He's got, you know, moves like Harbin, but he just needs to learn the game. He could get that from Jennings, who should help out.
That's right. Well, you know, moves like Harvin. I heard you drop that in there. I had no choice.
Now, it was costly because they had a trade with the Patriots. They were in the pick number 29.
Right.
And the Vikings gave up their second round pick, third round pick, fourth round pick, and a seventh. Now, I think the seventh is like one of those you could wash away. Mm-hmm. But the third and fourth. Mm-hmm. If you think about the players that you're going to get in the third and fourth, I didn't see it as too big of a move. I thought it was
that was appropriate.
An appropriate way to go. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
well, considering they had 9. Can Kyle count today? 9 picks in the draft overall. Sure, a lot of them were in the seventh now with that trade, but they also see they still had 9 picks in the draft despite trading they got one of the picks from the Seahawks. That's how that happened.
Yeah, the number 25 pick was from the Seahawks so that they can get Percy Harvin. And the Vikings... They also get a third-round pick for 2014 from the Seahawks.
So. Hey, there you go. I mean, that's a good time right there. Any situation where you can get three first-rounders that are going to be starters. Look, the closest thing I've seen to this... was when the Niners, and hopefully I don't butcher this, was when the Niners got Joe Staley, and I think it was a D-tackle, and his name's struggling with me. Ah, I'll look it up later.
About 2 years ago?
No, it's more than that. But they got Joe Staley and another piece of beef in their draft. That might have been the year they got Aldon Smith. I could be getting that wrong.
That was a couple years ago. They went offensive lineman and offensive lineman back-to-back.
Could have been. But the point is, I mean, when you got guys you're getting in the first round, you're expecting starters. And if all this pans, you know, moving to the first round to get the guys you know you want that will fit your system is a win, period. I mean, Weasel, you said Cordero Patterson may be a little raw, but you also mentioned he can return punts. So, really, it's an investment. And it's not like perhaps I'm going to throw a name out, Landry Jones, who was drafted fourth round by the Steelers. He's going to sit. And, you know, should, like, Roethlisberger retire early, which is possible with the way he gets his butt kicked, then the investment is, well, we'll pick him now, we'll develop him while he's holding the clipboard to back up Roethlisberger, yada, 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 and then he's ready. Meanwhile, while you're getting Cordell Patterson right, he's returning kicks. He's still contributing to his football team while he's growing. That's a big deal. I mean, that's like dividends right there, you know. For those of us who are, you know, business nerds like me and have stock and stuff.
Yeah, in 2010, the Niners went with Anthony Davis, offensive tackle. In the first round, 11th pick overall, and then also in the first round, 17th pick overall, they went with Mike
Iupati,
an offensive guard, 6 picks later.
By the way, both still currently starters for that line. Right. So yes, I said potty, Weasel. Deal with it. I dare you to make that joke to his face. He would mess you up.
That was three years ago.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's what I'm thinking of. I know there was another situation where they had a trade with Joe Staley in that pick, but that was a different year entirely. It's a while back. That's the same year that Ted Ginn went to the Dolphins. So
and you were close. They got Navarro Bowman.
Come on, dude. Yeah. Right? That's what I'm saying. You got guys like this that are taking care of business, and you go to get the guys you want that will fit your system. That's how you do it. There's nothing else to it. I made a little rhyme, and I didn't even knew it. Anyway.
They also got some other guy you don't like on there, too, in the draft.
Well, yeah, but that year, well, no, I like Frank Gore just fine.
No, Frank Gore wasn't that. Frank Gore was before that.
I know.
It's one Kyle Williams.
Oh, he's all right. I got no beef with him. He did have those fumbles in that one game, and that was awful. But last year, he had a good year. He's trying to redeem himself. Hey, he was a rookie. You know what? I'm over it. They made it to the Super Bowl. And really, if it wasn't for Jimmy Smith becoming a sex offender with the way he molested Michael Crabtree in the end zone, the Niners would be Super Bowl champs.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Thank you, Weasel. Well played. You're learning. I like it. Oh, man. I feel bad going to the worst draft team now because I don't want to bring that on the down note. You brought that strong, Weasel.
Weasel, don't worry about those third round picks and the other round picks from went to the Patriots because they drafted Rutgers players, so you're all right.
Oh, that one's for you, Nikki Fick. Wow. Anyways, let's go ahead to the worst draft. Chris, we'll start with you again. Who you got?
Oh, man. Let's go with the Jets.
The Jets?
Yeah, I'll go with the Jets on this one. You know, Dean Milner, good pick, that one right there, you know, to replace, Revis that they just traded away.
Right.
To get that, you know, to pick up the pick. But to go with Sheldon Richardson as their defensive tackle in a 3-4 defense, he's not going to fit that mold there. Especially when the next player that went over to the Carolina Panthers, who was probably the best defensive tackle on the board. What was his name? Star Lutuelli.
Yeah, Lutuelli.
Yeah, that guy. You know, another Samoan from Utah.
Which, hey man, when it comes to defensive tackle, it is hard to go wrong when you're picking Samoans. That's just straight real.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So with that one, and then also picking up, moving. Actually, I don't even think they moved up much to get Geno Smith in the second round. You know, just add another quarterback that's not going to do anything in New York again. So.
Wow.
That's basically why I put there. And then, you know, going offensive guards, you know, 3 through 6.
Well, first of all, let me be clear. Doing something to beef your line is a good idea, but doing it half-assedly is not going to solve your problems, okay? They obviously got Milner to replace Revis, which, let's call it what it is. I don't care how good an athlete Milner is. He's going to have to be a mental specimen as well because it's already been said at the draft, but I think it was said best said by the NFL network staff. I do not normally quote the three-letter network, but, you know, every time they catch a pass, oh, Darrell Revis would have intercepted that or protected that or covered that or whatever. They're going to test this kid because I'll tell you, Cromartie, he's a big name, and I'll tell you, if I'm a quarterback, I'm more scared of Cromartie than I am of some rookie. I don't care if he made it on Sports Science or not. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's where I'm at with it. And then, you know, I don't know that they're transitioning to or from a 3-4. I'll call that out right now. But I'll tell you, a guy who's 3'10", I'm not finding that a good fit if you're a 3-4. That is not nose tackle size, not in the NFL.
No, not at all. That's what, you know, they probably should have gone offensive lineman there instead, I'd say, maybe. But, you know, they had so many needs everywhere, so it was kind of tough to go through, you know, which was Warmack would have been a better he'd gone before it.
Well, let's put it this way. 9 of the first 11 picks. Well, no, Warmack was still on.
Warmack was there when Milner was
right,
picked.
And I'm thinking so. they could have gone after Warmack, and I think they still may have pulled off Milner. It would have been a bit riskier, especially since the Raiders ended up taking Hayden. But did they take Hayden because Milner was off the board?
No, Hayden was number one on the Raiders list there.
Okay, well, there's that. Okay, and then the Chargers get Fluker, which, by the way, is that a more perfect name for a Chargers player?
A Fluker?
Anybody else? I'm loving that. The fraud protected by the Fluker. That's so beautiful. It writes itself, y'all. I'm trying to tell you. Anyways, Charger hate aside, I don't know. I'm with you that the Jets did have a pretty crappy draft, but I don't know. You want me to go next? You want to go, Weasel?
I can go.
Okay. Who you got for the worst draft this year in 2013?
I would say the Dallas Cowboys. Now,
how about them Cowboys? I had to do it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They were standing at the 18th slot, and it was good that they traded back, But they traded back with the, I believe it was the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
And they went from the 18th pick to the 31st pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the compensation for that, jumping a bunch of slots in the first round, was a third round pick. So I think they could have gotten more. And what did they do with that 31st pick? They picked a center that was, you know, projected to go in like the third, fourth round. And
so let me get this straight. They traded to get another third round pick. No, they traded away their third round pick.
Wait, no, they got the third round
pick. Thank you. I screwed that all up. They got the third round pick, and then they reached two rounds, well, call it a round, to get a center. I mean, look, I'm all about getting guys that fit your system. I know that the Dolphins threw their hat in the ring to get Deion Jordan at defensive end because they wanted him real bad. Hell, we went over the Vikings and how they threw picks out that they had in droves because of all the trades to get the guys that they made sure they got the guys that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I get all that. But good God, man. I mean, you didn't have to trade to get Travis Frederick. I mean, look, I know he's from Wisconsin, and Wisconsin turns out some quality beef. But come on. Right? I mean, I think this is the point you're trying to make. And what else you got there, Weasel?
Well, they picked a tight end. They picked Gavin Escobar. And
in the second round.
Right.
In the second round. Mm. And they got a wide receiver from Baylor who it'll be interesting having the Terrence Williams play against RG3.
Yeah.
Both from Baylor, so.
I mean, not against literally, but yeah, there's some familiarity there. No, I see where you're going.
And then on rounds 3 and 4, they went with defense. But I think with that first pick, I think they should have addressed the defense. But
you know, I've heard worse ideas. I mean, they did lose Marcus Spears. That's a big deal. Dan Connor is gone from the linebacker spot, which I can go with that as well. But all three of us in this room know that the secondary is the problem. Now, maybe at the 18th pick, there wasn't anybody in the secondary worthwhile. I don't know enough about it. And I can see going after Escobar to give something else at tight end for the Cowboys to exist. I mean, they got rid of Martellus Bennett, which I thought was a mistake. And then, his performance with the Giants proved that. Let's call that what it is, folks. But Escobar is there to be the next in line for Jason Witten. I mean, that's Pierre's day. And then you start going down, receiver, free safety. They started too late on the secondary. The third round pick that they had at first, not the one that they got from the Niners. I don't know. I like where you're going. They were bad. I don't believe they were the worst. My worst draft of the 2013 offseason here goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I know what you're saying. Already, you're already, you know, kicking a team while they're down. I mean, hell, they had the second overall pick. They got Luke Joker, which on some boards was the top pick. I think last week, Chris, that Rizzo said that Joker was better than Fisher in his mind. But, I mean, you know, it's kind of
I think he had it the other way around.
Did he have it the other way around? Okay,
yeah,
well,
he had Fisher as the number one, which he did go number one.
That's right.
Because Joker is coming out a little early. Which they said, you know, one more year probably would have been suitable for him. But, you know, he's still projected up there 1-2.
Yeah, and you know, I'll tell you, after that pick, though, it kind of goes downhill. The next two picks were on defense. Gentlemen, of teams with bad offenses but great defenses, the Jags are it. And waste picks bolstering that side of the ball when you got all sorts of problems. Now, granted, most of it starts with Blaine Gabbert. I get it. But damn, I mean, so they got CS3 and Justin Blackmon at receiver. Okay. You also need running back. You got rid of Rashad Jennings, who's backing up Mojo. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing something there?
Yeah.
They did. They got they picked up someone that hasn't played running back before, Denard Robinson.
I see what you did there. Well, at any rate, what I'm getting to is this: not enough focus on offense for my taste. Yeah, I know three picks were technically offensive players, but I mean, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 picks. Five of them were defense. I'm not feeling that.
That Jonathan Cypher and Rizzo last week said that was the best safety in the class that he thought.
Okay, well, so I'll tell you, if they went up to get best available, that's fine. But I don't know. I needed more offense out of that draft. I mean, now granted, I appreciate that they didn't go for a quarterback in this draft. Who knows? Maybe maybe they're trying to not do well for Johnny Manziel. I'm working on that, Ryan. Give me some time. Yeah. But the point is, they're doing, yeah, I don't know. I felt like they needed more offense. And this, after they sold so many home games, so to speak, to London. I'm going to leave that at that. Anyways. So, Weasel, you very astutely walked us through the Vikings draft. Let's go ahead and kind of walk through the other points that went there. First of all, no quarterbacks, except for one, in the first round. EJ Manuel goes to the Bills. First off, thoughts on EJ Manuel in Buffalo? Weasel looks like he's ready to go.
He, I think, is one of those picks where I'm going to compare him to someone, and I think that, I don't know if it's good or not, but Tarvaris Jackson, who's also on the Bills.
Wah, wah.
You know, they got the height, they got the weight, they're physical quarterbacks, and they got, you know, strong arms. But, I mean, if Manuel, he's going to be put in a situation where I think he's going to play early. So, because I think, what did they take, Cobb?
Yeah, they got Cobb.
Yeah, Cobb, right. Which, I mean, hey, look, if the past is anything, dude didn't even make it out of the damn Hall of Fame game last year. And that's after getting knocked out early, playing ahead of Michael Vick, where Michael Vick was in the running in 2011 to be a freaking MVP, right? So, I don't know, man.
I think in a lot of players are chosen for the talent that they improving them. Just a second.
I think I know where you're going. You're going for that key word. How do we put it?
Potential.
Potential.
Yes.
Which, translate that for the audience one more time, Chris.
Yeah. Potential means you suck right now.
So, but did we capture the essence? Yeah,
that was it.
They started getting away from potential. And they're like, he has upside.
What? It's potential. Upside. What the hell, dude? You know what? I'm going to smack you upside your head if you don't call it upside instead of potential. The hell?
See, with EJ Manuel, though, 5 years ago when he came out of high school, he was a five-star recruit, and he was the number one quarterback in the nation. Coming out there, he went even with the high school senior quarterbacks. He beat everyone on Combine that was here at Disney.
Yeah, that's true.
So, he should be one of the top quarterbacks coming out. But, you know, Buffalo dropped, you know, got some extra picks from St. Louis. So, St. Louis can move up to pick up Tavon Austin, receiver.
Tavon Austin, yeah, that's a big deal.
So, they were going to go quarterback. They all knew a quarterback. They thought it was going to be Nezib from Syracuse, because, you know, Syracuse coach is the head coach there, so I thought it was going to be him.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But, you know, throw a curveball and get EJ Manuel. You know, I've seen him play. He's hit or miss. He's just one of those flashy. I think they want to go with someone like that, EJ Manuel, or the or Geno Smith, a type quarterback like that, because of, you know, look at Cam Newton 2 years ago. Look at RG3 last year. Russell Wilson.
Well, hold on. No, ain't nobody thinking that they're going to get that in this draft. And if they are, they're dumb. Which I guess the GM for the Bills might be getting fired soon, right? I mean, but do you feel like that was an expectation?
Yeah, that is. But they're just looking. He's got the same style of play as Russell Wilson. They're like mirror images of each other.
So they're
much.
Looking so for that pistol quarterback,
right?
I see what
they're looking like that. Yeah, you don't know what kind of offense this new coach is bringing in here to the Bills.
That's
so, you know, AFC East doesn't really see that offense like Russell Wilson. You know, Kaepernick. You know, that pistol formation.
They didn't do too well against it, did they? Yeah. Sorry, I'm homering like a mofo up in here. But
so, you know, it's a hit or miss. Is it a good pick? No, probably not. But, you know, Buffalo did address, you know, another receiver later on too to help out, because, you know, you only have really Stevie Johnson. They got the Robert Woods from USC. He's actually a good pick there.
You know, I saw his 40. I mean, every receiver that runs looks fast to me, because I'm 289 pounds. That's right, losing weight. Suck it. No, but I mean, I'm a lineman anyway. They all look fast to me. But Woods looked a little bit more faster. Awesome grammar. I speak good. Yay.
6'1", 201 pounds, ran a 4.47.
Well, yeah. I mean, here he's listed 6'2", 190. Whatever. What we're trying to say is tall with substance. That's a huge deal. And you're that fast, that's a heck of a combination. And you're across from Stevie Johnson, you're going to get some of them one-on-ones. That's a good time. By the way, do not forget Scott Chandler at the tight end spot. Probably the one of the most underappreciated guys right now in the NFL. I'll tell you, if that O-line holds up, that's offense is going to be better than you think.
That's the
not
only
great,
thing.
But good.
That's the only thing. They needed O-line. They didn't address it, though. They need some help there, and they didn't address it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was particularly terrible, but it could have stood to be improved. I mean, they didn't get any picks. I mean, a pick would have been nice. I'll grant you that for sure. There are worse O-lines out there, but you're right. The Bills could have improved, but let's call it what it is. By the time you got to round 16, you did have a lot of choice beef well off the board. I mean, you know.
They lost their starting guard last year, too, to Tennessee.
All right.
And they also lost George Wilson to Tennessee also, safety.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly a problem. I mean, we've talked about how awesome I think George Wilson is since he's a rookie and he picked off Brady three times in that one game. But they did address that need. They did get safety in Duke Williams from out of Nevada, but I mean...
And also Jonathan Meeks from Clemson.
Well, yeah, as a DB, right? I no reason to believe either of them will produce as George Wilson caliber, but hey, you never know. I don't know. Anyway, so... Keeping with, see, here's the thing about it. People talked about, you know, oh, there's no quarterbacks in the first round, so there's no drama in the draft. BS. It made the second round of the draft actually worth watching. I mean, it's called what it is, boys, right? Mm-hmm. But let's take this to you since this is the Jets. The future butt fumbler. I shouldn't do that to
he's
him.
He's the current butt fumbler.
Yeah.
Well, that's Sanchez. I'm more referring to Geno Smith, the future potential butt fumbler.
You think he runs into his offensive lineman like that? I don't know.
I'm not saying that. I'm more making fun of the Jets than him. I should adjust my approach. You're right. My bad. You know, but I'll tell you. We'll go ahead and get it out there. But this week's Daily TiVo, so to speak. Unfortunately, it's more like Tino. He got cut.
Oh,
I know. You need a minute, Weasel?
It's okay.
We did not choreograph that, folks, for the record. No, but yeah. So Tebow's cut, pretty much to make room for Geno Smith. And as you know, the resident New York guy on the mic there. Hey, what's this? How does this impact the Jets?
Well, as I texted you earlier that day, I'm like, just don't pick up Barkley because look what happened in the last USC quarterback you drafted.
TJ Johnson's listening, that hate for USC quarterbacks for you. I'm just right.
Yeah, look how well they're doing in the NFL right now. Carson Palmer, not that great. I mean, yeah, he had a good couple years when he first came out, but recently, not all that great.
But Matt Leinart is the jam, Matt Leinart. Son.
Top 10 pick.
Where's that John David Booty? Where's he at?
Well, no, I still feel gypped. Yeah. I still feel gypped. And Weasel and I have talked about this before. You may have even been on the show when we were doing this, Chris. Mm-hmm. I still feel gypped that he never started or did well playing a game for the Vikings because I wanted the loudspeaker to play that one song, Booty, 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 rocking everywhere. That would have been the jam, and you know it. Feeling all right. I'm not even a Vikings fan, and I'm all about that, guys. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know. That's where I'm at. So
only thing good is Geno Smith in practice, at least there'll be completed passes there, you know, because there's gonna be no one coming at him on the skeleton, so he'll complete passes unlike Sanchez can.
Wow. Well, you know, what how's the meme go? Now that Revis is gone, who's gonna catch our passes?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Who's gonna catch our passes in practice? Well,
the field's like, don't forget about me.
Well, the correct answer now is. Donor. Anyway, right? Sports science, punk. Yeah, no. I don't know. It's that. So let's go to another place where I'm very curious about why they went this direction. Matt Barkley to the Eagles. I mean, Weasel, I'm not sure your research stuff on it, but I'm gonna go to you first. Just as your impression, Matt Barkley to the Eagles, you saw that, thoughts.
Well, I think that Barkley, it doesn't have the strongest arm out there, right. But I think he played in like a pro-style kind of offense. So, I mean, they took him in the fourth round, I believe.
That's correct.
and they traded up to get him. So, I mean, he can be a, you know, a serviceable quarterback, but at least they still have Michael Vick, so
right.
They'll get Barkley ready if need be, because Vick, he's got to do something about those injuries. He's just getting beat up out there, and so, but Barkley, I think it was a good pick because it was late in the draft, and he could possibly be a starter someday. So,
that's a strong point. The thing that I thought was interesting is they already have Dennis Dixon, Nick Foles in the lineup already. Dennis Dixon there, obviously, for the Chip Kelly connection, former Oregon coach. I don't know. Let me pop quiz you. You see the four guys on the roster, and obviously Barkley ain't going to get cut because he just got picked up. Vic ain't going nowhere because he's the starter. Or maybe you think he'll get cut. I don't know. Pop quiz. Who stays on the roster, Dennis Dixon or Nick Foles?
I'm going to say Foles. I'm going to think he's going to go because Dennis Dixon did a good job with – he was with the Steelers for a little while.
That's right.
And he – I think he got hurt. And so I'll go with Foles because he's only in his second year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he played decently as a rookie, but I think they'll stay young in that –
Think so? You think Dennis Dixon's going to get cut?
Yes.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I think Dennis Dixon's gone, even though he has a connection with Chip Kelly coming from Oregon. Just because Nick Foles' second year, you know, it's what he showed last year in the couple games he played, you know, with Vic's injury before he got hurt there. You could say maybe Vic, but the contract is the issue, you know. They do a lot of money. So with picking up Barkley, Barkley last year would have been a top 15 pick.
Well, so would Landry Jones, who ended up going in the fourth or fifth round, I believe, to the Steelers. We'll get to that in a minute. But
no teams really needed quarterbacks this year. That was the thing, because everyone went on them last year.
Well, hold on.
Well, some teams need quarterbacks, but they don't want to. Yeah, Jets, the Bills, the Jags, the Titans, the still out there.
So you want to retract that statement?
The Cardinals. Let's see here.
I don't know.
They do, but they don't want to take the chance because of they're just, you know, the grade and this and that. Because of, be honest with you, it's probably not even the quarterbacks. It's more of the quality that came out last year compared to this year.
Sure.
And, I mean, these were all high-caliber quarterbacks this year, you know, last year. And then
2012 was an amazing quarterback year, so it stands to reason that this year would be a draft.
So that's where the standard is. And, you know, you give them like 2 years, even if these guys were, you know, if they had two more years of eligibility come out, they'd probably go in the first round.
You know, and what I hear the LT, Bill Carroll, say on the Thursday night show here on Football Reporters Online is that a quarterback doesn't have to necessarily be a starter to be successful in the NFL. Well, with all due respect, LT, if they're not starting, what the hell are they there for? I mean, you can have a successful career as a backup, sure. You could be personally satisfied doing that. But from a fan's perspective, if you aren't starting, no one gives a damn.
Unless you're Tim Tebow.
I see where you're going there, Weasel. But let's keep in mind, as a starter, he did manage to inch the Broncos into the playoffs and a win. So that's more than a lot of players do, right? I mean, you know, I see what you did there, and it was funny, but unfortunately, stupid logic, God! Anyway, no! No, but I see where you're going for sure. I mean, perhaps a better example is Jalen Ramsey, the 300-pound quarterback. That was my dude right there. Yeah. Unfortunately, he was only really a backup.
He was a beast.
Oh, God, that's awesome. 300-pound dudes playing quarterback. That's so amazing.
He was running like a 4.7 40 too.
Hell yeah. Anyways, so we've had enough love of the fat man here. Which, by the way, for the record, in case Mike Mayock happens to listen to this, you have not earned the right to refer to linemen as fatty, okay? That's like, I mean, there are certain words where if you are only a member of that group, you can use it, and you can really only call other O-linemen, D-linemen fatties if you are one yourself. So let's get that right. Not to mention, you call games so poorly, my wife corrected you. That's a whole different subject. But anyway, so that's my Mike Mayock smack for the moment. I said, I was getting Smack and Mayock mixed up. It was Smock and Mac. It was, anyways. So, another place I wanted to go is, I'm only doing this because everyone's talking about it, and we haven't addressed it yet, and I want just an intelligent approach to it. Manti Te'o. didn't get drafted in the first round. Everyone else thinks this is appropriate, right? Anyone think he should have gone in the first round?
Nope.
Because I'll tell you what, I wanted to watch game film and check out his performance, but I couldn't really see him in the Alabama game because he was either off camera where he got run past when he missed a tackle, or it was some lineman's back as he was getting driven out of the way. Let me be clear. Manti Te'o isn't a bad linebacker. He is not a first-round linebacker. You could perhaps argue that he's not a second-round linebacker. However, the fact that he ends up with the Chargers makes sense to me, and let me tell you why. They look for that speed guy. Oh, but Cal, Manti Te'o did bad doing his combine and running. Yeah, fine. That's great. The film shows he does better than that. Running, at least. Running. Right? I don't know.
He actually took a tenth of a second off his time in his pro day from the combine.
It's only 4.7. So.
Yeah, only 4 points. I see what you did there.
But, you know, a lot of middle linebackers are good because of who's in front of them, the defensive tackles. And in the Alabama game, Alabama's offensive line, all five got drafted. Let's just say that.
Booyah.
All five got drafted this year. Three of them went in the first round.
Yep.
So the other two, I think the last one went in the third or fourth round in the center. Who I thought was actually going to be a little higher than that in the fourth round, the center.
Well, I tell you, you should get some credit being the guy that calls the blocking schemes for that crew. I mean, I assume he
went the fourth round to the Rams. I just looked at it. So
that could be a steal for them.
Yeah, it was kind of a little shocking there. But when your defensive tackles get blown up into you, kind of, you know, you're not going to be really there. And what I thought was funny is they're like, oh, Manti Te'o, he's missed one tackle all year.
He missed and at least he three.
Missed,
in that
yeah,
game.
He missed three in the first drive of the championship game.
Well, you know, I'll say this. You mentioned, and first of all, let me be clear, Chris. That point is not made enough. Let me be clear. The fact that, let's go through some names: Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Roosevelt Colvin, on and on. He already got the link. Right? You get it? All Patriots linebackers.
Points for me. Points for me.
Hey, I'll give Chris two and you get one because you were going there. I feel that.
Bing.
Yeah, yeah. Bing, bing. Yeah. No, but I got to get a bell now, damn it. No, but yeah. Then you have the Chargers who just got rid of Abreu Franklin, which means they have... My point exactly.
Yeah, they drafted one, right?
I gotta be honest. I gotta look that garbage up. I mean, I'll call that what it is. I have no idea. Did they draft a D tackle? No, they didn't. So nice try, Chris.
My bad.
Well, no, not your bad. They're bad. They didn't pick one. That's what we're getting to.
Oh, that's right. They picked the fluke or an offensive tackle. That's right. Sorry, yeah. I had to give that one out for
tackle
you.
Tackle was in there. God, isn't that beautiful though? I love it. No. But, I mean, you know, they got Manti Te'o there, which I'll admit, anything would improve their linebacker core. In my view, it needed a lot of work.
They got Danny Woodhead. Oh, wait.
He doesn't play position. Linebacker, but yeah.
He probably could.
I don't know. They have Cam Thomas at defensive tackle listed here. I don't know him. Maybe he's good. Yeah.
Who?
Cam Thomas.
Oh.
Or is it Thomas Cam? No, it's Cam Thomas. Yeah, because it was whatever. The point is, who the hell is going to cut the lane for this guy? And moreover, let me be clear. Every other quarterback in the West, in the AFC West, is at least somewhat mobile. Not good necessarily, but somewhat mobile. So I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so enough about.
And they run a 3-4 too there, so.
Yeah,
that's gonna work very well for him.
Yeah, well, and I'm hoping what they do is they run a 3-4, which if they put him at the outside makes sense. I get that. That's a sound move. But then again, same problem still exists. What's in front of him?
But the thing is, when you run a 3-4 and you want to go to outside linebacker, you need that pressure, and I don't think he pressured the quarterback very well.
Well, as an inside linebacker, he was more a run stopping threat. They sent other guys.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's what I felt.
So it'd be an inside on the 3-4, yeah. But on the outside, no, because he doesn't have that. I don't think he has that attacking mobility.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well.
We'll see in the coming months.
Absolutely. which then, you know, another question I want to ask you guys, and I mean, Well, the next few questions are going to be elements of homerism for different hosts. So, Weasel, I'll start with you. We touched on the Landry Jones drafting. Give me your thought on that.
Well, I think it's good to have a young guy out there. That's he's got good. He's pretty tall, 6'4", 225, and he could learn under Big Ben. And I would think that his style would be similar to Big Ben. And he got like a fourth round grade for most of the experts.
Keep in mind, he's got a fourth round grade. Good job, Kyle. A fourth round grade, but was among the top just 2 years ago, right? I don't know. Interesting stuff. Carry on.
Yeah, so picked in the fourth round, so they're not going to break the bank. He can, you know, try for the backup job. And Big Ben is, he's getting hit a lot more. And
I'm not going to call him injury prone, but he gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And that's more because of his style.
A lot of hits.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and.
But could that be because of the offensive line issues the last couple of years?
Or is it because he holds
injuries.
On? Injuries. Or is it because he holds on the line too long? Or is it because the line gets injured a lot? Which, yeah. The good
that's
news is.
That's why the offensive line injury issues the last couple of years.
You said, yeah, issues implies talent, issues. Not so
no,
much.
It's because
some of the guys
injured.
Got hurt.
But I mean, they went through, like, what, they had six guys on IR that were from offensive line 2 years ago?
Which, I'm amazed no one snatched up McGurski at the center spot there yet. Because he's, every time he's gone into backup Pouncey, he's done a fantastic job. I don't know.
One thing about the Steelers draft board is they didn't draft offensive linemen, so I hope some of these guys are coming back from injury. Cause,
yeah, to say the least. No, an excellent point, too, Weasel. I mean, the Steeler draft, I mean, well, let me ask you, what do you think the Steelers should have focused on in the draft? Should it have been linemen, O-linemen?
Well, I think, let's see, linebacker, they got to pick Jarvis Jones. He was, I think he would replace Harrison.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have Woodley and Timmons still, but yeah, we talked about this before years back. The key to the Steelers' success on D is just a cavalcade of freaking linebackers, right?
And they did need a running back. I mean, Mendenhall, he's been up and down. And,
well, and then they shipped him too. He's in Arizona now.
Yeah. So the. The running back position, I think that was a good call. I did look it up, and the other guy, I think Lacey, he needed to get his toe fused, mm-hmm. and it like elongated his toe, and Steelers were worried about that, so they didn't draft him. They mm-hmm. would have, but I don't think they didn't want to mess with that, so they did pick Le'Veon Bell. He's a bruiser kind of back. So, but as for the offensive lineman, I would say at pick 4 or maybe in round 4, if they could address the offensive line more, that would have been nice. But
see,
hopefully,
but
they got people coming back. So
yeah, well, but look at all the stuff that they picked at too. The running back thing had to happen. Okay, they needed another receiver because all they really got to speak of is Sanders, right? Emmanuel Sanders. Okay, then the safety spot because both Polamalu. And I'm going to get his damn... No, Ryan Clark. Both of them are aging. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, of course, strong safety. That's a Polamalu replacement. Shamarco Thomas. I mean, interesting first name, but does not...
Cool name, yeah.
Yeah, not a name like... not a name like Polamalu for the last name for certain. I mean, and, you know, Landry Jones, I like that move. They got rid of him. I think Bash finally, you know, retired or died or something. Same mm-hmm. with Leftwich, mm-hmm. right? You know? And so they needed to address that as well. I get that. So, really... Everything they attacked was a need, so it's hard for me to hate on it. But by the very same token, I see where you're going, Weasel, that O-line has been an issue for the past couple of years with injuries. I mean, let's call it what it is. When they played the 49ers on Monday Night Football in San Francisco, when they had the transformer blow at that stadium, the reason why, and this is 2011, keep in mind, the reason why the Niners dominated that game the way they did was A, Ben already had a high ankle sprain, and B, Doug McGurski, the center, was a rookie and had just was coming in for Pouncey. So, I mean, that's one of several situations that just won't go well. I mean, let's call it what it is. I know that the Ravens have shipped out a lot of dudes, but let's keep in mind that front is now ridiculous and they have to play him twice. You know what? Haloti Ngata, Elvis Dumervil, Marcus Spears, Corey Redding, who's a second year now. Just a lot of stuff going on up front. And then, oh, by the way, maybe you've heard of Geno Atkins. Yeah, that guy for the Bengals, they play him twice too. Paul Kruger, now a Brown. I mean, the AFC North may not be the best division, but it's certainly still among, if not the toughest. Let's be clear. I don't know. Anyways, getting about the 45-minute mark here, gents, something I wanted to run past you guys, and I'm really kind of working on what to think of it myself. Fourth round pick, 49ers get running back Marcus Lattimore. Now, we all know Lattimore as the dude whose leg, like, you know, looked like a helicopter for a second when it got hit. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I'm not cool.
You just, what? I'm not trying to make fun of it. That's really a good way to describe it. That's what happened. I mean, don't hate, dude. It's not like that. He's like, shut up, Kyle. No, stop it. No, but I mean, in all seriousness, like, at first I'm like, why would you pick him? And then I'm thinking about it. First of all, the Niners, going into the draft, before they started training anything or anything like that, had 13 picks. So they had a few to spare. I get that. You know, that's why they traded up to get Eric Reed at the free safety spot, filling in Deshaun Goldson. Totally get that. They got done a defensive end, Cornelius Carradine. I believe it was the pick that they got for Delanie Walker. Okay, they've had issues with D linemen running out of gas because they're so central to their attack. Of course, I mean Alden Smith and Justin Smith, right? And Justin Smith is aging. So I get that. The tight end thing didn't make sense to me, but going down the line, Marcus Lattimore was their second fourth-round pick. Now, he's going to have to rehab. And even if it takes him 2 years to even start to step foot on the field, there'll be a certain choice member of that team in about 2 years who will probably be ready to retire. You know who I'm talking about?
Frank Gore, who turns 30.
Frank Gore. There you go. Well done, Chris.
He turns 30 in like a month or two.
Yeah, right. I mean, hey, if he's even on the squad next year, the most they're probably going to get out of him is 2 years. About then, Latimer's going to start to surface. If he's healed, if he pulls a Willis McGahee, I don't know, man. I don't know. Thoughts on that? Anybody?
You know, the way he's been running, the way they've been using their other running backs on the roster with LaMichael James and Kendall Hunter on there, I could see Frank Gore a couple more years there.
Well, depends since on they the have salary, a good committee,
right?
A great point.
Yeah, they do. So I mean, is Kendall Hunter going to be there after next year? I don't know. LaMichael James, maybe one more year after that because this is his second year there, so they usually sign 3-4 year contracts. So
Anthony Dixon is still a factor as well.
Right.
I don't know. But, hey, let's put it this way. If you're playing for a team with a coach named Harbaugh, you need a committee. Having this guy waiting in the wings, not a bad idea. It was the best way to draft somebody for the future without threatening the present. I'm with that. I like that. That's a smart approach. I don't know. You know, so for me, that it sounds crazy, but it's working out. You know, I'll leave that at that.
But, you know, with the Niners, the three defensive ends that are labeled defensive ends on their roster are all rookies this year.
Well,
all rookies now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I would have liked to see the Niners get more D-tackle because they got rid of Ricky Jean-Francois, who really gets a bad rap, and I don't understand why. I thought he did a fantastic job. I mean, hell, they're still calling Bowman and Willis's name. That means somebody at the D-tackle spot did good. Someone's an idiot. A lot of people are idiots because a lot of people have slammed Jean-Francois. Look, I get because he's French and the whole surrender thing. I get it, but not so much with this guy. Okay? Then there's Isaac Sofuaga. He's good, not there anymore. Then there's Ray McDonald. He's good, but I'd like to see them have more than one.
They picked up Glenn Dorsey from the Chiefs.
I understand
in the offseason,
that, but he's not really a D tackle to speak of, is he?
He's a defensive tackle. He's 297. He's almost 300 pounds. He's heavier than Justin Smith.
So I mean, you know, now if they come out in a free forward look, perhaps putting him there makes more sense than Ahmad Brooks, who really is a linebacker and undersized for the spot, but they're using him for a speed attack. Okay, right. I don't know. Really, to try to read Jim Harbaugh's mind. Just a genuinely bad idea because the dude's smart. You know, I mean, heck, not anybody. Well, this isn't brains more than it is stones, but not everybody would have started and continued to start Colin Kaepernick.
Well, you know, he's doing the opposite. A lot of times when you have pressure from the front seven, your corners look good. Well, now with their secondary, who they have back there, yeah, they lost just Goldston, but they did draft Eric Reed from LSU.
Yep.
At safety, they did pick up Asamoah in the offseason. You know, go along with Carlos Rogers.
Yep.
You know, at corners. So you got there. You know, there. Who's their other starting safeties?
Dante Whitner.
Yeah, Dante Whitner's still there. So their secondary is there. So with their shutdown corners with Carlos Rogers and Asamoah, if they, you know, play like they should be playing, they will get pressure from their front seven. So,
well,
it works both ways.
I mean, yeah, they got all then, but what about their linebackers?
Hi-yo! Right. See what I did there? You like that? Anyway, that's so ridiculous. Anyways, I don't know. So
their back seven looks good. Their back eight looks like the front three is what they're questioning.
Hey, well, and again, I think that's more about gas than it is about talent.
Right.
You know, because they had some injuries towards the end there. And it could have had a factor in the final game. I mean, we saw the way Flacco ran around. If we had fresher DNs if they were fresher DNs to chase him, maybe that wasn't an option. I don't know. Anyways, so we got about 9 minutes left here. Something I wanted to run past you guys is with the Vikings draft, it looked good, but does this really mean that the Vikings are going to compete in the NFC North? Like, they made the playoffs. Are they going to return?
I think they can.
Think they can? Okay.
They are their top three picks. The defensive tackle was originally like a top five pick. Everyone saw that.
Uh-huh.
And Vikings didn't budge. They just stayed at their spot and drafted him.
Come on now.
the cornerback they got should go good with Chris Cook. I think both of them are 6'2". And both of them are around like a little over 200 pounds.
That's a big deal.
So, and Patterson, I mean, it was a good thing they got to Greg Jennings. I know they paid a hefty sum for him, but I think he's going to help out with the development of Patterson. And last year they had Harbin out for the last, I think it was like 6-7 games, and they were still winning. So now with these improvements, I think they can maybe grab another wild card spot.
Let me tell you why I like their chances. They're playing, no offense, Chris, they're playing the NFC East. Let me tell you why I don't like their chances. They're playing the AFC North. So, I mean, look, if you get the games you should from the NFC East, which, you know, for my money, you should be able to beat the Cowboys and the Eagles. The Giants game would be close unless Eli goes all Eli on people. And if RG3 isn't back, which, considering they're playing them in week 10, he probably will be, that's going to be tough. But the North, the Browns, you know, I'll tell you, with what they did on defense, they make Ponder screw up. If they contain Peterson, that's a problem. You know, same thing with the Steelers. Same thing with the Ravens. I mean, I don't know. It's all you can really say is you can rely on the Lions and Jay Cutler. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to talk too much smack because I want your wife to slap me in the face, but because Jay Cutler. Anyway. What were you about to say?
Well, last year, I think top three wide receivers were like Michael Jenkins, Jerome Simpson, and a rookie, Wright. He was in the slot.
Right. Correct. Excuse me.
So this year, they're going to still have I think Jerome Simpson resigned. They're going to have Patterson and Greg Jennings. Now, on paper, that looks a little better.
I agree.
So, and Peterson still rushed for 2,000 yards, even with Harbin out all those games. So,
and you still get Jarius Wright.
Yes.
And you get Greg Childs back from that injury he had last year. Yeah, another rookie from Arkansas.
He reminded me of, I watched his highlights, he reminded me of Sidney Rice because he has the ups to.
He's a big target.
Because ups.
But the only problem that you see with the Vikings is quarterback.
Yep. It's a question mark. I mean, how are they going to do with Ponder?
Or has he grown? I mean, there's that.
And you can fall back to Cassell.
Anyways. Yeah, right. I'm going to fall back to Castle. So. Anyways. Well, I mean, it worked in the Lord of the Rings. They fell back to the castle and they won, right? Anyways. Thank you, nerd humor. Anyway. We got about 4 more minutes here, boys. So, you know, somebody we haven't even talked about in their draft, their only the defending champs. And, of course, I'm referring to the Baltimore Ravens. We've seen a lot of guys part from that roster. But also, you know, let's call it what it is, too. The Ravens have done a lot lately to rebuild. It was looking pretty grim at first when they first signed Flacco to that contract. But I don't know. Let me go with you on this, Chris. On their draft, what do you think?
You know, they addressed defense. You know, they lost a lot of defense in the offseason, like, you know, most Super Bowl champions lose a lot of defense. So they picked, you know, Matt Elam in the last pick in the first round from Florida, who was one of the top safeties coming out of high school 4 years ago, too. So, or 3 years ago. I think he came out early. He played decent in Florida. I think he played a little too soon because he was a true freshman there. But they got the safety, you know, to replace Ed Reed. They went outside linebacker, defense, tackle, defense, and they addressed defense. They addressed offensive linemen. Say maybe receiver they probably could have gone after, you know, losing Anquan Boldin, because the only really true receivers you have on the team is Torrey Smith. You know, he is great, but Jacoby Jones, you know, you don't really have another receiving target there.
Okay, well, yeah, I agree with that too. And, you know, when you really look closer at it, okay, so they got Jimmy Smith at corner, you know, the alleged sex offender. Thank you, Weasel. And Ladarius Webb's pretty good at corner, so I like that setup. They did lose Ed Reed, but they addressed that. I think you touched on it, that they did draft Matt Elam, right?
Right.
So that fills that spot ever so nicely. I can't front on that. They got Doomerville. That's a big deal. They got Suggs still. I didn't even mention Suggs last time. And they got Chris Canty at D-tackle. I forgot to mention him earlier as well. It's not like this defense is awful. Let's be clear. However, their quarterback still sucks. Anyway. Joe the Foul Flacco. F-O-W-L because of all the ducks he throws. However, don't worry. Jacoby the Duck Hunter Jones still on the roster. And really the senior member of that squad. So, anyways, with that, we're getting about, we got a couple minutes left. So I will do what I always do when we're running low on time. First, I'm going to do the promo. Then I'm going to do the pop quiz. Of course, you are listening to the Student of the Game here on Football Reporters Online, here on Blog Talk Radio. Good times as always. You've been here with Chris Rankin, Stephen Weasel Hurley, and of course, I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game. And we are on every Monday night at 7:30 Eastern. We are usually live, but we had to download this episode because BTR. And we'll leave that at that. And then we also have, on Thursday nights here on Football Reporters Online, the weekly show where you'll have all the all-stars from the Football Reporters Online. Me, Dr. Bill Chalkas, the LT Bill Carroll, and of course, Don Rafael Garcia, who we had help us with our South preview of the draft. You know, just a lot of quality time there. They, of course, are on at 9 Eastern. And then look for me Wednesday nights on the Sports Chronicles Radio Network with our former panelist boys, Stat Boy himself. That's right, Drew Glukov runs the board on the OT with Andrew G. What you laughing for, Weasel?
Nothing.
What? You're going to talk smack? No, I'm just joking. I put you on the spot, man. That's my bad. No, but anyways, be working together on Wednesday night with him. And yeah, just a whole lot of good times. But more immediately, coming up here at 9 o'clock Eastern, the NFL West Recess, where we attack the West Coast bias 1 week at a time with myself, Dr. Bill Chalkas, Coach Ali Sarkisic, and Quinn Jordan. I think the promo took most of our time, so let's be quick about this, gentlemen. Ravens repeat, yes or no? Weasel?
No.
Chris?
No.
We are a triumvirate. We all say no as of now that the Ravens repeat. But remember, the rules say that until we make our final predictions in late August, early September, that we can change our minds. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of being the host of this show. I can set that rule. I can do all that happy stuff. And you guys don't mind that you have a mulligan, do you?
It'll still be no.
It'll still be. Sometimes we're confident even in our mulligans. So there's that. Anyways, so with nothing else, ladies and gentlemen, class dismissed.